You're listening to the Simo and Jordan podcast. If listening persists, please see your therapist. Well, it's obviously too late for him. He's been listening far too long.
Takeaway with Simo and Jordan.
And Simo, here in Australia, we'd like to say to the rest of the world that we have got the most deadly animals.
That's right. Aussie.
It's a bit of a claim to fame.
I think. Oi, oi, oi. Oh, my God. What is that?
Oh, my God. Run. Aussie. Run.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, Simo, although we do have spiders, snakes, crocodiles, et cetera, et cetera, one thing that we don't have is bears. I mean, we've got koalas, but I mean, like, the vicious bears that can attack you and even kill people.
Did you get told the drop bear story from a young age?
I did, yes.
Yes. Watch out for them.
They are terrifying.
Especially in rural areas.
They are terrifying. Well, they're very funny to tell tourists that story. But Simo, the reason I bring up bears is because a black bear in Canada has done something incredibly human-like. It's kind of terrifying. If this, I hope bears don't start doing this more often, because then we're in trouble.
Okay, so they've done something human-like in Canada. Yep. All right, did they start, like, apologizing and have, like, really great manners?
No.
Because that's what, I mean, Canadians are famous for that.
Yeah, Canadians, like, are famous for that.
Oh, sorry.
Sorry, I didn't even do anything, but sorry.
Yeah.
It didn't do that. That may be the next step. I'm worried. If this bear starts apologising, we should be worried. If it also pops into a travel agent and starts booking flights to Australia, then we should be even more worried.
Does it sing like famous Canadian crooner Michael Bublé?
No.
Okay, I was hoping.
I mean, it could. Maybe it was singing. The video I saw didn't have any sound.
Okay.
So it could have been. No, Simo, this bear was able to smell out pizza and break into someone's house looking for leftover pizza.
Oh, it's like the Italian job.
100%. So this guy, his name's Sean Atkinson. He lives in Canada, and he has got a video camera on his front porch area. I think he's kind of got, I don't know what it's called. You've got a front door, then you've got another little room where shoes and coats go, and then you open up to the main house.
Right.
I think it's like an entry or something like that.
It's like a walk-in wardrobe hallway.
Yeah.
Right.
It's got a technical name. I can't remember.
A thoroughfare.
Maybe it's that.
An alcove.
Stop guessing names. Otherwise, we'll be here all day. But yeah, so there's a video camera in there captured the bear opening the door. Somehow, just grabbing the handle and just opening it, which was locked, so no idea how that happened.
Yeah, yeah.
Having a look around for the pizza, discovering three pizza boxes on the floor, opening them, only to discover that they were empty before leaving empty-handed.
That's sad for the bear.
Sad for the bear. Probably good for the guy, considering there was a bear in his house.
What flavour?
And he was fine.
They don't eat bears in Canada, do they?
No.
Not like bear pizza?
It wasn't a bear pizza.
It wasn't going in there as like, what have they done? Mum! Dad! Oh, my God!
No, it wasn't a bear pizza. But Simo, actually, you've opened up a can of worms there. What's the weirdest thing you've ever put on a pizza?
What have you done to my friends?
Where's Fred the bear gone?
Is this Supreme? Yeah, it's got pineapple. Don't like pineapple very much.
So that's why Humphrey's not on TV anymore.
Simo and Jordan.
Have you ever had a DIY project get a little bit out of hand?
So this is when doing some home renovations?
Yeah, maybe you, maybe dad, maybe mum.
And what do you mean get out of hand? Like not go right?
Either or. Maybe they didn't get around to finishing it.
Oh.
Anything like that. Right? Like dad always said that this treehouse was going to be the best in the neighbourhood.
And it will be when it's built in 25 years.
Dad, I'm 31.
Not going to lie, I'd love a treehouse at 31. It'd be awesome.
You're walking your sister down the aisle next week.
Well, I managed to get it in just in time. Nothing's immediately springing to mind. Why, did your parents have any DIY disasters?
No, but I've had a few, like, I had a mate who grew up with cement floors in the house.
Okay.
Because they didn't want to spend the money to floor it. So they just, it was cement floors as long as I could remember.
Okay, that would be, I hope they at least let the cement dry.
Yeah, there's dry cement. There's no footprints in there. But I think they finally did a few tiles and some floorboards and stuff. I think, I reckon my mate reached the age of 25.
Oh, so as soon as he leaves home.
Yeah, I think
Mum and Dad are like, oh, yeah, no, we should get around to fixing up the floor.
I think I stepped into that house when he was eight, so some solid years, just cement floors. However, a DIY project of a different kind has gone down in a rural backyard. It is a it's a 9 meter above ground, 9 meter deep pyramid of Giza.
Oh wait, huh? So yeah. It's 9 meters tall,
correct?
And it's a pyramid.
That's right. It's a pyramid in the backyard. Bit of a DIY project for the happy couple.
Okay. Can you go inside this pyramid and?
Like... Well, no, it's too small, I reckon. Oh well, yeah.
Well, if it's 9 meters tall,
it's like
yeah. If it's 9 meters tall, that's like a two-story pyramid.
But it's all to scale, so it's nine. What is it? It's nine times tinier than the actual Pyramid of Giza.
Well, the Pyramid of Giza is huge.
So you reckon...
So
you
nine times to... smaller is probably still bigger than my house.
It is bigger than a dollhouse. You are right.
I mean, so I'm looking at the picture you've got there on your screen.
Yeah.
Just next to it, there's a two-story house.
That's very true.
And the pyramid is bigger than that house.
Yeah, so you could probably maybe walk around in there.
Oh, 100% you could.
But I wouldn't.
You could have a party.
Pyramids are creepy.
Yeah, I mean, once you get rid of all the mummies and all that sort of stuff, if they really went full scale and got, like, Tutankhamun and put that in there, that would be impressive.
I enjoyed the fact that they took ages trying to find a construction crew because no contractor would take the work.
I would imagine it's a bizarre phone call to make. Oh, yeah, we're just planning this little extension. Yeah, sure, we can do that. We do sheds and that sort of thing. Oh, we want a pyramid.
Yeah, we want it made completely of cement blocks.
Mm. Also, do you have to call council for approval for something like that?
The planning officer's having a nightmare that day.
Because that's another bizarre... Like, if ever you need to get something approved through council like this, it tends to take a bit of time.
Oh, yeah, my mum, Kerry, works in planning for these kinds of things. Like, Kerry, have you seen this latest... you seen this latest application? No, Jan. What is it? You best have a look for yourself.
They want a pyramid.
What the hell are we going to do here? I mean, it's within the restrictions. It's not too tall. It's not too wide.
I mean, it fits all the restrictions, but at the same time, I feel there should be a line there that says, no pyramids in suburbia.
It's like, well, no, does it fit the neighbourhood aesthetic? Look, that's the key point here.
Well, there's that Sphinx just down the road, so I guess it does.
Yeah, it's like, well, there's a few.
There's a lot of cats lying around. A
lot of mums in that neighbourhood, a lot of mummies, so, yeah, you know, they right. fit.
Let's tick the boxes.
400 tons of concrete blocks. It's quite sizable.
Yeah.
For a backyard DIY project.
Simo, I think I know the answer to this.
Mm.
And I certainly know the answer to this if I was asked this question.
Yeah.
Let's head back in time to when you're maybe 12 years old growing up.
Yeah, sure.
Would you like a 9 meter high pyramid in your backyard?
Absolutely.
Oh, 100% I would. This is more fun than like a swimming pool or a bouncy castle.
They don't have any kids though, these two.
That's probably why they could afford to put a 9 meter high pyramid in their backyard.
Takeaway with Simo and Jordan.
And Simo, want to talk about honey.
Oh, yes.
Do you like a bit of honey on your toast of a morning?
No, pancakes though. Big on the honey pancakes. What else do I partake on those? Cream sometimes?
I mean, honey on pancakes is pretty good, not going to lie.
Yeah.
But, Simo, what if you could get honey free from your walls at home? Would you be interested in
just
that?
Just on tap? Just like, what, turn
just
it on?
Just like dripping down the wall and you can just grab your piece of toast and go, oop, yep, there you go.
Well, ants would be a problem.
Yeah,
ants
that is a good point.
They get attracted to the sugariness of it.
Yes, you would need some kind of ant-repelling solution.
Because that was one thing my dad always hassled me about, is like you have to, A, make sure you rinse your spoon or knife that you have indulged in the honey, and then you need to make sure that the lid remains. You've got to try and clean as cut as you possibly can. Mm. So, like, keep the lid, the rim clean, because otherwise that's how you get ants.
Yeah, 100%. Well, Simo, one house in America is experiencing... they haven't got ants yet.
Okay.
But they probably will be if they don't fix up this situation.
And I grabbed my husband saying, oh, no, what next? And he felt it. He said, this is really sticky, syrupy-like. And we were brave and like, smelled it. And he was like, this is honey. And I grabbed...
So how did they cotton on to the fact that there was honey in the wall?
Well, Simo, so what is happening is they saw something dripping down the wall. At first they thought it was like the orangey kind of a honey colour.
Right, okay.
They saw it dripping down the wall. They had some storms, thought, okay, well, maybe it's just water that's mixed with dirt or something and it's dripping down the wall. Went to investigate it and found out that their house is quite literally leaking honey.
Wow, that's like... It's like The Shining when the walls like rain blood. You know, when they like
it's a lot less terrifying though.
Well, it's just a really camp ghost, not an angry ghost. It's just a ghost that's like, no, we're gonna have a fabulous time.
No, it's much more delicious. Put it that way, having true. Honey.
If Willy Wonka was haunting your house,
no, that would be chocolate.
Not very true, but it's still.
If a honey version,
it's ballpark.
If Roald Dahl's one of his books that he didn't get around to reading was Willy Wonka and the Honey Factory, yeah. And if that had got made into a movie, then that would be the one that's haunting.
If Caramello Koala haunted your house, I don't know. That's
So, Simo, if your house was leaking honey, who would you call?
Oh, Ghostbusters.
That would be an option.
At that point, yeah, probably.
Mm-hmm. But no, if you've got a plumbing problem, you can call a plumber.
Yep.
If you've got a honey problem.
Sorry. I guess it's the, is it the fumigators, the insect people?
Well, it's a good question. It's like who, there's no one that's really, their profession is dealing with honey on walls. However, they did call a beekeeper who discovered that there is a, quote, a colony of bees living in the house.
Right on.
And they're currently working on a plan to extract the bees.
Because you always see those daytime TV ads that are always like white. What are they called? White termites? Are those the bad ones that eat through your house?
I think all termites are not great.
So you need steel. Your house needs to be built out of steel.
Mm.
Now they'll be doing all the bees. Do you want honey leaking out of your walls? Well, you need something to fix that.
Well, the bloke who this couple in America called is called, quote, the Bee Man.
Really?
So, if you've got honey leaking out of your walls,
is his kid's name? Is his kid's the Bee Boy and the Bee Girl? Is that how it goes?
I hope not, for their sake in high school.
Simo and Jordan,
The Voice, Australian Idol, The X Factor, those talent comps.
Yeah.
Did you ever try out for one?
No, because Simo, you know this well and good, I can't sing.
No, but you can do other things. Could you play the spoons? You'd have some other talents.
Yeah, I don't think playing the spoons would get you very far on one of those shows.
Yeah, it's probably not as good as, say, you know, what was it, the original? The very first one was they brought us the winner, Guy Sebastian. And the ill-fated runner-up
was Shannon Knoll.
He was. How are those two ever up against each other?
I know, they're two very opposites of artists, aren't they?
So, you know, they bring us some gems, don't they, these comps?
Yeah, I mean, they also bring us a couple of
duds.
Yeah, actually, now I think about it, a lot of duds.
So, I reckon I've found them, Jordan.
What, they're duds?
No, The Voice.
Oh.
The one that we've been looking for years. These comps just keep going because they're looking for the one.
Oh, so they're going to find this voice.
Yeah.
And then they're going to go, yep, okay, that's it. We're packing up production.
Yeah, as soon as they find it.
People on Australia's Got Talent, The Voice.
Don't bother.
That's it. We're going home, guys.
Yeah.
X Factor, we're done. We'll just show reruns of The Simpsons or something because we got nothing else to show.
And the greatest singer of all time, right, that Australia should claim.
Mm-hmm.
His name is...
Hang on. Australia should claim. So this person's not even Australian.
Their name is...
Are they from New Zealand?
Yogetsu Akasaka.
Okay.
37-year-old. He busks in Australia.
Oh, yeah, okay. We can claim him. Yeah, no, he's Australian.
Okay, so he is a busker beatboxer, if you like.
Okay.
Right? However, he has combined his talents, because, you know, people always say do what you love.
Yeah.
And then make it your job.
Yeah.
He became a Zen Buddhist monk.
Okay.
Following on from his years busking as a beatboxer.
Right.
Now, something that occurs in Zen Buddhist monk rituals is chanting.
Yeah. I'm kind of worried about where this is going because I know that you've got an audio grab ready to play.
So they start off. So he actually beatboxes the chants for his particular, you know, monk comrades.
Wow.
So they kind of start off like this.
Is that him?
Yeah, just sounds like you're mucking around in the shower, really.
Don't know what you get up to in the shower, but...
Well, the echo's really nice in the bathroom, have you noticed?
I feel sorry for your housemates, who have to listen to you doing this in the shower.
So, you know, that's not that impressive. However,
I mean, I wouldn't say that. I couldn't do that.
Yeah.
How do you do it?
Yeah.
I feel like a fish.
But then, all right, it gets hectic from there. So then all of a sudden he starts... That's all his voice. Oh, my goodness. And then it goes, it's like turns into a full, like, Zen Buddhist rave by the end. So there you go, Jordan. I found the voice.
I will call Justin Bieber right now and tell him to go away. We don't need you anymore. We found this guy.
I think Ronan Keating still does all the production, so get him on the phone.
Okay. Do you have his number?
No, but 37-year-old Yogetsu Akasaka, the Zen Buddhist beatboxer.
I'm going to buy an album.
Takeaway with Simo and Jordan.
And Simo, applying for jobs, it can be quite stressful at times, I guess. You know, getting your resume in order and your CV and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, especially in the current climate, for sure.
100%. So I think it's always good to have a bit of a laugh at times. And Simo, there is a Reddit post that has caught my attention.
Oh, okay.
On the, it's people who are offering jobs, so bosses and managers, commenting on the weirdest job applications they've had people send to them whilst looking for a job.
I have one in mind. Yeah, but what ones have you discovered?
Some of these are brilliant. So one person has posted they were a manager at a retail shop.
Yep.
Looking for a new casual position. And I received a resume from someone and it was literally just their high school football accomplishments. No other experience. There was even a link to a highlight video on YouTube.
And what was the job?
It was just a retail, like, assistant manager or something.
Well, position. You know, I guess that proves leadership and to strive to succeed. Retail is, that's kind of like entry level stuff though, right? Retail?
To a degree, yeah. I mean, it depends on the job, but like you know.
Like by just, you know, sometimes you just need to get your foot in the door. Mm. Sometimes you just need to apply and you're in with a chance.
But maybe put something else other than just your football application
on
it.
Well, if it worked for him.
I didn't.
Oh, I did.
Simo, it's also very important to check your spelling whenever you do a job application.
I agree.
One person who worked at a restaurant said, I had a chef apply for a job once and said, quote, this, I'm good at helping my co-workers thieve while the restaurant is at its busiest. Assuming he meant thrive.
Ah, yes.
But helping your co-workers thieve while the restaurant is at your busiest.
That's a big spelling mistake.
It really is. It really messes
thrive
up your whole
and
application.
Thrive, I before E, except after C, and there's an added R in there, mate.
Yeah, spell check on that.
Yep.
It's also very important to check your email address. Make sure you know the email address you're sending it from is the like looks professional.
That's very true.
And you're not sending it from an email address that's maybe the one of the ones listed here. SexyMama@domainname.com.
She's just got a side hustle, that's all.
BaddestBiosh 420 or GangsterBoy 420 as well.
Well, you know, if GangsterBoy was applying to be a bouncer, probably half a chance.
Perhaps.
Yeah.
So honestly, there's so many of these. They're brilliant. I've been going through them all day. Was hiring in retail, got an amazing CV, fit the position perfectly. Only problem is they didn't put any contact details on their CV so I couldn't get in touch with them. Otherwise, they would have got the job.
Yeah, it is. It's because it's stressful. Those kind of mistakes happen.
Yeah.
So a colleague of mine, who shall remain nameless, they were...
Well, hang, was it a colleague in this building or like an older colleague?
Not in this building. They were writing. They were writing up their CV and their resume, their cover letter as well. But they also had some homework from, I can say this, by the way, because they've put it on their own social media. I'm not like outing them, but they were doing a bit of homework for their shrink, for their psychologist.
Okay.
Right. Which, you know, they had to do, you know, like, I don't know if it was like dream analysis of themselves.
Okay.
Right. So they had to write down a paragraph of what they dreamed about and what's concerning them. Mm-hmm. And then they accidentally forwarded that attachment instead of their cover letter. So the employer's just like, all right. Straighten the shredder. Just like, we're not touching that with a 10-foot pole.
But look at it the other way. Like, the people that would be expecting to hear about this person's dream would actually get their resume and job history and references.
Look, I get the sense that you're a bit stressed about employment opportunities.
Just reading between the lines here, it's a bit subtle.
Wow, you're very, very concise in your dreams. Lots of people tend to have them all broken up and not making sense, but this has a beginning, it has a middle, it has an end. It's really quite a good argument.
It actually might have worked out quite well. I mean, not for the job. I don't think that person would have gotten the job they wanted.
Simo and Jordan. This is the end, but only of today's podcast. And remember, don't move toward the light.
No, go toward the light.
No, don't go toward the light.
You've got to go toward the light.
Don't listen to him.
Yes.
Shut up.
Right.
To hear Simo and Jordan live, join them for Takeaway on air weeknights from 7 across the Capital Radio Network.
Yeah, that should do it.